Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros y a todos los hermanos que están conectados.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers and all the brethren who are connected to the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries. Today, Friday, April 26th of this year 2024. As our subject, we have the first dispensation, Innocence, preached on March 8, 2015, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. And our brother William used as a base scripture on Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And let us turn to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. Where he tells us, and the Lord God formed there on top, where it says, and the Lord God formed, there he writes, on the eighth millennial day. And the Lord God formed man. There beside man, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Form man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. And there on the right side, he writes the spirit, the theophany. Man became a living soul. And there above, living soul, he writes, soul. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed unto his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The first dispensation, innocence. You may please be seated. He tells us, in the message, the great light of the last day, which was preached on December 8, 2000, in Bogotá, Colombia, our brother William tells us, we find Jesus in the age of the cornerstone of his time, carrying out the introduction of a new dispensation. John the Baptist was a messenger of an age, Jesus a dispensational messenger. There aren't two messengers for one same age, messengers of ages, and there are no dispensational messengers for one same dispensation. There are not two at the same time. Although on some occasions two dispensational messengers may have been seen on earth, that was back in the beginning in the time of Adam when Seth appeared, but one is of the dispensation of the innocence, and the other one of the dispensation of conscience. If in the time of Noah, Seth was alive, then two major prophets were seen there at the same time, but one was of the second dispensation, the dispensation of conscience, and the other one of the third dispensation, the dispensation of the human government. So, we can see where the mystery of this situation lies when we see it, and two prophets are seen on earth at the same time. And also in this message, the restoration of the kingdom of God on earth, our brother William tells us, which was preached on August 8, 2008, in Curitiba, Paraná, Brazil. It says, there are prophets of ages, but they are dispensational prophets. There are few dispensational prophets. Do you know how many? Less than you can count on the fingers of your hands. There are only seven dispensational prophets. Adam for the dispensation of innocence. Seth for the dispensation of conscience. Noah for the dispensation of human government, the third dispensation. Abraham for the dispensation of the promise, which is the fourth dispensation. Moses for the fifth dispensation, the dispensation of the law. Jesus for the sixth dispensation, the dispensation of grace. And for the last day, the seventh dispensational prophet must appear, and the Jews are waiting for him. That is, they are waiting for that seventh dispensational messenger of the dispensation of the kingdom, of which he must be alive in human flesh on this planet Earth. And notice, 2,000 years pass since the sixth one appeared, Jesus, and at this end time, the seventh is present. Now, also notice here, let us turn for a minute. We'll pause there in that message that we are reading. And let us turn briefly to this little part here of the message that we will be seeing today. Notice, almost at the end of the message, our brother William says, it is important that those who have not yet received Christ the Savior do so as quickly as possible, because at any moment, the dispensation of grace will close. This was in 2015, see? In the dispensation of grace, Jesus was the prophet messenger. After the dispensation of grace must appear, our brother William says there, in the message we just read, that the seventh dispensational messenger must appear, which is the messenger of the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, it is very important to place and to know the work of the messengers of each age, of each dispensation, the work of the archangels, the work of the angels. In other words, everything they have to carry out in the midst of the human race, what position they occupy, where they are located in the divine program and plan, so thus not to stumble, and to be able to see in this end time that great mystery of the seventh seal. By knowing all of that, the seventh seal is opened, and it is shown of how it would be, when it would be, and in whom it would be. Now notice, in this message, where our brother William speaks to us, protected against the cunningness of the serpent, he tells us, preached on June 27, 1998, in Cartagena, Colombia. He tells us, just as Cain was the son of the wicked one, the offspring of the children of the wicked one is scattered throughout the planet Earth. And now, the human race is physically mixed, but in the spirit, there is where the separation, the difference, is made. Where is the separation made? In the spirit, see? And notice in this message, marriage and divorce, our brother Branham tells us, now God help us. This scripture, this question confronted Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry. He's quoted Matthew 19:1-8. And he confronted Moses at the very beginning of his ministry. It is a foremost question in believers' heart. The sinner doesn't care. But it is to believers. See, the sinners don't care about the requirements, the terms needed in order to receive the blessings of God. They say, that doesn't have anything to do with it. That doesn't matter. Because he's a sinner, he's an unbeliever. Now, to the believer, it does. The believer does look to all the requirements to obtain the blessing and all blessings of God. But it's to the believers, because the believer is trying to do all that he knows how to do to live right before God. Now, this is fine. You can do this. You can do that. That's no problem. See? That is the devil speaking to them. Like happened back then to Eve. You will have no issues with this, speaking to her in the spirit as well. Now, notice that. That is how it was in the Garden of Eden. Eve did not wait for Adam to obtain the revelation. See? The word, the tree of life, would become flesh in him. And so that he would obtain the revelation of who the tree of life was and who the tree of knowledge of good and evil was. Eve, if she would have known who that tree was, she wouldn't eat from it. Because who is going to eat of a tree? A tree that brings forth a fruit unto death? Where you are going to die by eating of that tree? If you are told that, and notice that when that revelation is given, because, look, let us go a little further back. He told them, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day that you eat thereof, that day you will die. Now one says, but he told them, but that was not revealed through human flesh. In other words, through Adam. They did not wait for that tree of life to become flesh in Adam, for him to be adopted, and thus for Eve to obtain the complete revelation of what those two trees were. Now, when they obtained and ate of that fruit, then they realized that they were naked. But before that, from what God told them, that the day that they ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, they would die. With that word, they did not have the revelation that they were naked. Once they ate of that word, that's when they realized that they were naked. Now, how is it that when you wait for the word to become flesh and you eat of that tree, is when you obtain the revelation? Now, our brother Branham continues saying here, where our stop here says, because the believer is trying to do all that he knows how to do to live right before God. Therefore, if any question comes up on religion, then the marriage and divorce case comes up. Why? Because it is the cause of the original sin. That's where sin started. And that's the reason it's brought up every time. Because it is the very beginning of sin. And there he writes, the original sin. Now, our brother William continues saying here, in the message, protected against the cunningness of the serpent, when the human race fell in the Garden of Eden, the devil took the lead there. He took over the planet Earth. And the son of the wicked one, Cain, appeared as the firstborn. He was the first one born. And we can see that the devil began to rule with him. And then Cain had a son and built a city and named it the name of that city after his son. Notice, he's making an imitation of what God will do. Because the great city, because remember, the devil is an imitator. It says in the book of quotations that he imitated in the ages. Let us look for it here in the book of quotations real quick. Quotations, page 98. Let us see around there. Paragraph 857 says, remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He tried to do it. We noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimics to this. He underlines mimics. See, because he don't know it. There is no way for him to know it. It is the third pool. There he writes, the seventh seal is the third pool. Satan will imitate. He did it in the ages. And there on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And an arrow toward the cornerstone. That is, from will try to impersonate, that is in the age of the cornerstone. But notice how there are no mimics, Brother Branham says. When the devil begins to imitate, whether through ministers or through people, trying to interpret and say what the messenger brought, those good tidings, those news, and also trying to interpret what the Reverend William Branham said, when they begin to say, this is like this, this is like this, because this is like this and this. That is the devil using those people to imitate or impersonate and trying to confuse the people. The people, both individuals as groups, so that they cannot receive the blessing of God. The devil has always done that at all times. He tries to get ahead, to take as many as possible to the Great Tribulation. And when we say to the Great Tribulation, notice, it is the fifth dimension open on earth, completely open at that time. Because each leader of those kingdoms, they take the people to their kingdom. And he, in his manifestations through the ministers or people, what he seeks is to drag all those people into his kingdom. Which is the kingdom of the Antichrist, of the men of sin, where the devil will be manifested in all of his fullness? Which is the kingdom of the wicked one? The fifth dimension, which he has been trying to establish it since the Garden of Eden until now. Now, our brother William continues saying, notice that he is making an imitation of what God will do, because the great city, the New Jerusalem, will have the eternal name of God, which is the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of his Son is the name that God has for the New Jerusalem. Now, on the other hand, there is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Messiah, which will be established on this planet Earth after the Great Tribulation, after the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, and we return to Earth for the establishment of that kingdom. God is making that separation, that segregation. Who is doing it? The Son of Man with his angels, carrying out that work. See how he told us there in the Spirit. And that is something very important. It is where the mixed happen. See? The human race is physically mixed, but in the Spirit is where the separation is made. Now notice in the message, adapted from the book, the volume, if you have it around there, is on page 15, adaption number 2, in the part where he begins to say, now, where are you getting to now? After we put on this glorious body and the great age that is to come, when this glorified body, this celestial body has been made a glorified body. You get what I mean now? When I can walk over and say, Brother Neville, let me give you a little illustration. I say, Brother Humes, let's go up to Papa this morning. He is God. We know him now. He is a savior. He is a healer. There never was such a thing as a creation of sin. That didn't go down good, did it? Sin is not a creation. No, sir. Sin is a perversion. There is only one creator. That's God. Sin is righteousness perverted. What's an adultery? Righteousness perverted. Was a lie? The truth misinterpreted. Certainly. What's a curse word? Is God's blessing turned to a curse word to God instead of a blessing? Sin is not a creation. Sin is a perversion. So Satan could not create sin. He only perverted what God had created. That's exactly right. Death is only a perversion of life. And he writes there on the side upward, sin equals perversion of righteousness. See? Sin is righteousness perverted. Because, see, Satan did not create a sin. Rather, he perverted what God had created. Now, let us continue here where we stopped in the message, the restoration of the kingdom of God on earth. He continues saying, and he is promised as the Elijah who will restore all things. And Moses is also promised, and the Messiah is also promised. The concept that the rabbis have in the terms of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Moses, and the coming of Elijah, it is a bit different than the theological concept of Christianity. But they are waiting for all three. In the theological book of Christianity, it also appears that they are waiting for Elijah. Judaism is waiting for a man to appear proclaiming everlasting peace. And they say, that is the true forerunner of the Messiah, the angel of the covenant, and of harmony. That is why it is good to read the book of Judaism, to know what is the concept of the prophecy of the coming of Elijah, Moses, and the Messiah. Let's read that part there from the book on Judaism that our brother William has here, which is a book that he was reading to us in some occasions from the same paragraph that he quoted there, page 73 of the book The Religion of Israel. When the time comes for the kingdom of the Israelite faith, God will send his prophet Elijah, who will unite the heart of the fathers to the heart of the children, and the heart of the children to the heart of their fathers, and thus proclaim the universal everlasting peace. And he writes, peace. He is the true forerunner of the Jewish Messiah, the angel of the unity and harmony in the world. And there on the left he writes, Revelation 11, 1-14, 7-1-17. And he writes, Messiah. And he writes, angel. And our brother William continues to say here, that is why it is good to read the book of Judaism, to know what is the concept of the prophecy of the coming of Elijah, Moses, and the Messiah. And the Messiah. God will raise up a prophet like Moses from the midst of the people. Therefore, he will be connected to the Hebrew people. But where will he come from? Judaism or Christianity? Well, we will speak about that in another occasion. We already saw Elijah in his fourth manifestation in the midst of Christianity. The fifth manifestation is very important because it has to do with Christianity and Judaism. And he will be the only one who can deal, or the Spirit of God can deal with Christianity and Judaism. God will give him the knowledge to deal with both people, and there will be an approach between Judaism and Christianity. And that bridge can only be made by the Spirit of God operating the ministry of Elijah for the fifth occasion. He will not be criticizing neither Christianity nor Judaism nor any other group. He will be uniting the people, and they will recognize him. Now notice, on one hand, he is uniting the people. That is, carrying out that miraculous catch of 153 fish on one hand. But notice that on the other hand, he's making the separation. Notice those two and both of those works that God is carrying out at the same time. On one hand, he makes the separation, the segregation. There where we read that he's making that separation. He says, but in the Spirit, that's where the separation, the difference, is made. There is where that segregation between right and wrong is made. And on the other hand, he's uniting. Notice, he is carrying out that work of joining those two sticks together in the hand of the prophet. Just as the northern tribes with the southern tribes are united in this end time. Now, notice how that battle, that struggle for the kingdom, to establish the kingdom on earth, has begun since the Garden of Eden. Because from the beginning, that is what God had in his plan and what God has in his program to carry out. But the devil got ahead. Now notice that the title deed then returns to the hands of God again. And he says there that he placed that sword, which is the pillar of fire, so that they would not be able. Let us read that part there in Genesis, where he tells us about that sword which was placed there so that he could not go through. To put forth his hand. It says, this is around here in Genesis, on chapter 3, it says, let us begin on verse 22. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. And he writes, tree of life. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. And there he writes, tree of life. Notice, that tree of life was not made flesh in Adam. And here in this other Bible, there he also writes, next to cherubims, there he writes, tree. Now notice everything that happened in what we have read just briefly, back then in the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of that first dispensation, the innocence, of which in the book of quotations, on page 155, paragraph 1387, there it tells us, now, in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, last seven vials, and the last seven trumpets, and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation, tying them together in this hour that we're now living, to follow the opening of the seven seals, the seven church ages. So, we couldn't get room to do it. So, I hope that soon as I can get a place sufficient for that, either here or in Louisville, New Albany, or either put up a tent, so we can just stay as long as the Lord leads us to do. And there he writes, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven thunders. And he writes, the teaching in the tent equals the thunders. And all the writings there that you already have there. Now notice how the teaching of all these things that God is carrying out, and which is what gives the elect of God the faith to be transformed and raptured. It is under the teaching, under the tent, of which it was prophesied. It was spoken that in the great tent cathedral, he would be carrying out that work. And everyone who has been together hand in hand this whole time, so that the fulfillment of that vision is possible, you'll have a great blessing before God. The tent is already in operation. The teaching is already being given, although there are still some little details left in the surrounding areas, which are being carried out, which is why we also thank all those who are praying and are contributing to also maintain the place, and also all the commitments that we have of the maintenance and all those things, electricity, water, and everything pertaining to the expenses they are in a land like this, and also in everything that is being done, in all the improvements, and also the facilities that are still to be built. So, we thank all those who in one way or another are carrying out this work of praying and contributing for that purpose. But notice how all of that is already intertwining. All those things are already ending. And God is also given the teaching in this quick work. This quick work and message that will circle the earth. A short message that will circle the earth, the world, and shake the nations. This is the time for the fulfillment of the promise of the resurrection and transformation. Therefore, we are preparing ourselves because this is for the believers. May God bless you and God keep you. And let us stand to live with us in this subject
tema que tenemos para hoy,
that we have for
la
today,
primera dispensación,
the first dispensation,
la inocencia.
Innocence.
Dejamos así inmediatamente con Let's nosotros leave a with us right away our dear brother amigo, and friend, el doctor
Dr. William Soto Santiago.